This is the Hot Stove Show on Sports Radio 105.7 The Fan. An hour-long look at baseball offseason transactions, player trades, deals, and the upcoming Orioles baseball season. Now, live from Dempsey's Pub at Oriole Park, here's the Hot Stove Show with Jim Hunter on the flagship station of the Orioles, 105.7 The Fan.
And a good evening, everyone, and welcome to Dempsey's. We're here at the ballpark, Jim and Rock, for this hot stove. And, oh, do we have a good show tonight. And the place is packed because Rock is in the house. Is that why?
I think it's because news always breaks when we're here, and I'm scrambling to write a blog entry and tweet while we're doing the show. So I think people are anticipating something big.
Well, I think they're anticipating in person, within moments, Brad Brock, Caleb Joseph, and then a little bit later on, Joey Rickard. They're all here in town for FanFest, and they're going to stop by and say hello. So the fans are excited about that. Right. Now, last Thursday, the news broke of Mark Trumbo's pending deal. It became official the next day. So Mark Trumbo is back. So let's look at this from several aspects. What will Mark Trumbo's primary position be? And then how does that affect other players, in particular Trey Mancini?
Yeah, it's going to be interesting. And I know Dan has said it'll play out in spring training, which is true. You have to consider they're still looking to maybe add another outfielder, a plus defensive outfielder. So that could change the roster somewhat. But for now, there's a lot of speculation that he would be the primary DH, but there's a chance that he could actually also platoon with Seth Smith in right field. Smith, a career 202 hitter against left-handers. So when there's a lefty starting for the other team, Trumbo could go to right field. And then we don't know, is a Trey Mancini then the DH as a right-handed hitter against a lefty? Or do they go in another direction? We don't know if Trey Mancini even makes the team because we thought he could be the full-time DH possibly before Trumbo resigned. So he could be impacted. And, again, you throw another outfielder in that competition, and then you wonder, okay, you know, Rickard's not guaranteed a spot, and he did lose his Rule 5 status. A lot of people
don't
ask
tell
this.
Him that later. No.
He's not here yet, right? Okay, good. Or is it Mancini? And, of course, you know, they have two Rule 5 picks. I think Anthony Santander coming off shoulder surgery, you could put him on the DL, but then you have Tavares from AA, more experienced. But they carry a Rule 5 guy every year. But would there be a spot for him if you add another outfielder and you decide you want to keep Rickard and you want to keep Mancini? And there are people in the organization that really think Trey Mancini doesn't have anything else to prove in the minors. They're okay with him being a part-time player as opposed to getting at-bats every day in Norfolk, and yet that's subject to change. So we're going to see how it plays out. But I think Mark's going to end up playing a little more right field than maybe we anticipated.
Mancini's a first baseman, so he could always spell Chris Davis. However, if he spells Chris Davis, that means Chris Davis DHs. So that would mean that Trumbo would have to be in right field if that were to work out.
Yeah, and Buck likes to be able to move some guys around as well. And you're right. And, you know, the possibility that you could always have Davis maybe play a few games in right field. I mean, you could move guys around. I'm going to be curious if they're going to give Mancini any reps at all in the outfield. Buck seemed to indicate at minicamp that he wasn't really thinking about that right now. I know there's some concerns whether his arm is strong enough, but then there are other people, I think, in the organization like say, look, it doesn't hurt to take a look, and the more positions he can play, the better, and he's not going to get a lot of first base. He's going to have to be mostly a DH if he stays in the majors, so why not hit him some fly balls, let Wayne Kirby work with him a little bit and see if he can at least be an option in right field or in the outfield here or there.
The only thing about Mancini being on the team to be the other DH is there are so many more right-handed pitchers than there are left-handed pitchers,
right,
which means he may go. I mean, obviously, you play Boston, you're going to see some lefties there. They have three in the rotation, but he could go a week, 10 days without seeing a left-handed pitcher to get in the lineup. So I guess the organization has to be comfortable with allowing him to sit at the big league
right
level if he's not getting those regular at-bats at AAA.
Yeah. And you can make that argument that he's better off getting the regular at-bats still. But then I know, you know, talking to people, including Brady Anderson, who's, you know, been working out with him in California, and he's like, this guy can mash, and it's lefties mm-hmm. and righties. He doesn't even need to be platoon, but now, of course, he'd have to be with Trumbo back. But he's like, you know, he can hit any level. He's not a guy that is trying to hit the ball to one field or another. He can hit to all fields. He's like, you know, it's his time. He wants to see him. He would like to see him get regular at-bats, but that's going to be tough to do. But he doesn't feel like he needs to be, you know, playing every day in AAA or it's going to stunt his development. But there may just not be a spot for him. You know, that's a good thing, obviously, Jim. You want to have a guy, if you have to send him back to AAA, you know, fine. And there's a guy who's going to be beaten down the door. Or, you know, if he's on the bench and he's there for some stretches, the bench didn't get a lot of use last year.
Right.
And Buck wants to be able to use it more, but it's just nice to have that bat there you know, matchups, lefty comes in, setup guy or whatever, seventh inning, eighth inning, whatever, and you have a Trey Mancini on the bench. It's not a bad thing.
You know, I know this is now a special show because the Oriole Bird just showed up, and he got a bigger ovation than you and I did. So just throwing
it
out there.
Fails.
That's how popular he is. Oh, and my daughter's here. Hi, Allie. Allie and Brett. Tazi are here for the big night. We keep hearing or reading somebody on MassinSports.com that the Orioles continue
whoever that is
to continue to look for pitching. Now, I'm curious because they already have five named starters,
right.
The five that are left from last year. The bullpen is the bullpen, and it's a solid bullpen. Can you envision a scenario where if Dan is able to add a pitcher, that might make somebody else available for a trade to get something back that they don't have?
It would be interesting if somebody would look at, like, Ubaldo Jimenez's contract and be like, you know, I'll take that, like the Mariners did with Gallardo. I mean, it's not out of the question. He's not untouchable. But they're looking to improve their depth. I don't know if they're looking necessarily to subtract. I just wonder how that would work. For instance, they were interested in Jason Hamill. Now, I think the money might not be right now. They're not going to spend a whole lot more than they have now that they've re-signed Trumbo. But there was interest in Hamill, and I'm thinking, well, that's not a guy that you would start out at AAA, and then if you have a need, you bring him up or you can option. So you'd be back to 6-for-5. But I think they still want to improve that depth. And, you know, Dan, if there's a pitcher that can kind of fall into his lap, it's going to be too tempting to walk away from. So there's still that possibility. But I think ideally for them it would be somebody that you could either sign on a minor league deal or somebody that has an option that you could go ahead and, you know, maybe even start out AAA if everybody's still healthy, and then the next man up, if Mike Wright and Tyler Wilson and Joe Gunkel are in the rotation at Norfolk and they're not performing as well as this new guy, you can bring him up. So they're definitely looking to add another starter. They're also looking bullpen still, maybe another lefty. Boone Logan is still out there.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, I'm surprised about that. I know how much they like him. They talked about trying to get him in a trade last year. He wasn't available yet. But I don't know what it would cost to get to sign him. I think the price has to be dropping now, so I'm sure that's a temptation if he's still out there, because they would like to have another lefty, and you could still pair him with Donnie Hart.
You know what I love about Caleb Joseph? He's always smiling. Caleb Joseph, Brad Rock, and Joey Rickard just walked in, so we'll take a break and come back and talk some baseball. Hot Stove Baseball on 105.7 The Fan.
Now, back to the Hot Stove Show on 105.7 The Fan. An hour-long look at baseball and the off-season trades and deals. Once again, live from Dempsey's Pub at Oriole Park, here's Jim Hunter on The Fan.
And don't forget, this Saturday, 2 days from now, it's Orioles Fan Fest presented by Visit Sarasota County. That'll take over the Baltimore Convention Center right across the street from Dempsey's. A day-long celebration of all things Birdland. Doors open at 11 a.m. Special season plan member early entry at 10 a.m. You can come on out and get ready for 2017. Enjoy player appearances, interactive Q&A sessions, clinics, exhibits, games, and more. Event tickets are still available, so don't miss out. It's the official beginning of an exciting new season here in Birdland. For all tickets and schedule details, go online, Orioles.com/FanFest. Jim and Rock, we're Dempsey's. I think Rock is with me. Rock, are you with me?
I think so.
Okay, yeah. Tim was masterful during that break.
Yeah.
Brad Brock, Caleb Joseph with us. Everybody, say hi to Brad and Caleb. There you go. And all of a sudden, Brad's mic didn't work. And to show you what a team player he is, Rock offered his mic to be off the air so Brad Brock could be on the air.
I know who they want to listen to, who they don't care about. Trust
me. Team player right there.
My ego is in check.
Yeah. So how you guys doing? Just got in town today for FanFest. How's the offseason been?
It's going great so far. Had a lot of time to spend with the family. My almost two-year-old, he's talking a lot. That's exciting, learning new words, stuff like that. We've been busy teaching him how to swing a hockey stick. Not a baseball bat yet.
Yep.
We're into hockey, but, it's been great so far.
Now, Brad, you've had a very busy offseason, inducted in Monmouth University's, your alma mater in New Jersey, into the Sports Hall of Fame. And I read all of the reports on that. That was a Hines Ward went in with you, right? Austin Miles went in with you.
Yeah.
Wrong wide receiver.
Yeah.
But what an honor to go into your university's Hall of Fame. That had to be a special night.
Yeah, it really was. Monmouth University holds a dear place in my heart, my family's heart. Just growing up there and getting to learn how to play baseball at a higher level, and just getting put into the Sports Hall of Fame there was an absolute honor.
Caleb, how often does Brad shake you off?
Not very often, but when he does, it's usually the strikeout pitch that gets him, so I'm glad he did it.
yeah.
Hold on. Did you throw like a perfect game in college there?
No, just
a regular old no-hitter, I think.
No-hitter through 8 1/3, though. But
no-hitter.
Yeah.
But that was against LIU?
LIU, yeah.
Terry Crowley's alma mater. How about that?
King
Crow. I don't think he faced the Crow.
And the more he tells that story, it's going to become a perfect game. Eventually,
yeah.
You will know.
Yeah, truth. Exactly. I think as you get older, every story gets better. Right? That's
truth. The fish was this big.
Yeah.
Well, Brad, you might be throwing to obviously a new catcher now with Wellington Castillo. And that's kind of a question for both of you, what you know about him. And, I mean, it doesn't look likely that Matt Wieters is coming back now, though he's still on the market. Is that kind of going to be strange not having him around?
Yeah, I mean, I haven't been here as long as Caleb has, but I think that's just kind of one of the guys that, you know, the Oriole fans and players recognize as Matt Wieters. He's one of the guys that was here when they started the turnaround, the whole organization. And without him being here is going to be different, but I think this is kind of the way baseball is, and you just kind of have to move on. And, yeah, looking forward to getting to meet Wellington and throw to him. Just facing him, I know the last couple of years he's a good hitter, and look forward to seeing him. Hopefully he hits a few balls out this year.
Yeah, being in a different division as Wellington, we haven't seen a lot of him, but we did get to play against him last year, and I like the way he received the ball. And you know, the guy, he's a proven hitter, and we really think that he's going to be able to contribute behind the plate as well. Yeah, Matt, he's been a staple in the lineup and in this city for a long time, and just talking to him a little bit in the offseason, it has been a little awkward not planning to see him at Fan Fest or spring training, and our wives are close friends, and it's been different, but it's business, and it's tough, but it's part of it. And so you never know. You always hold out hope that it could happen, but we'll have to just see, right?
Do you envision that your role would change dramatically with Castillo here, or it'll be the same role? Is that what you're anticipating?
Same as last year. You just want to play and make it to the playoffs. Mm-hmm. And if that means 10, 20, 30, 40, I know it probably sound like a broken record, but of course everybody deep down wants to play every out of every game. Very few are able to do that, and the catching position is tough. You've got to prepare. You've got to be ready with your body. You've got to be ready with your mind. And whatever happens, happens. Look, fortunately, Buck is a lot smarter than us, and he makes out the lineup, and he knows what he's doing. He's proven that he knows what he's doing here in Birdland. So we trust that whatever he wants to do is the right thing for the team.
Now, Brad, in 2016, you won 10 games out of the bullpen in the affectionate term, the Vulture. You happen to be in the game, hold it as is, team gets the lead. It's only been the 9 times in the history of the Orioles franchise that a relief pitcher won at least 10 games. When you think about that, obviously you can't control what happens after you leave, but that's a remarkable season where you were that consistent and able to pile up that many wins, 10 on the season.
Yeah, I think that just goes to show how many close games you play. Obviously, I have no control over that. It's just kind of going out there and not giving up a run, and we just happen to score when I'm in the game. So I think as a reliever later in the game, it's not something you think about, but I didn't know it only happened 9 times in Orioles history.
Yeah,
that's pretty cool to be a part of that.
And you know what's interesting about it? Stu Miller has the record. He won 14, 1965. That same season, Dick Hall won 11 out of the bullpen. 25 wins, 2 relievers on the same team.
That's crazy.
And they're the franchise, and you're 1 of 7 with 10. So
yeah, that's crazy.
Very, very unique feat to win 10 games out of the pen.
Yeah, and have both the guys do it at the same year, that's pretty incredible.
Caleb, you think you'll be able to get through Fan Fest and spring training without having to talk about the RBI total? Because if so, I'll be the last guy to bring it up, hopefully. Are you over that now? Are you tired of that thing coming up all the time?
I think I'll probably be over it February 1st, at the end of the day on February 1st. And then we just move on. But, yeah, I spent a lot of time trying to rechannel energies and stuff. And look, for me, 2016 was a fluke. It was an anomaly. It was just something. It was a fluke. I've proven I can hit. I've proven I can drive in runs. And I feel really good with my workouts the way they are now. And if people want to ask about it, you know, you guys have a job to do. I understand that. But it's not something that I'm dwelling about very much. I was able to put it in the back seat the day I got home. And I feel really confident about this upcoming season.
Brad, I don't know how closely you follow the hot stove season here, but your name came up a lot and has come up a lot in trade talks, teams asking about you, the Mets certainly. First of all, is that flattering to you that you've got teams that are interested? I think there are teams that view you as a possible closer as well. And are you, I guess, relieved, so to speak, that you're still here, sitting here, still in the organization?
Yeah, definitely. I love pitching here in Baltimore, and ever since I've come over here, I felt really comfortable. But I couldn't help but notice, especially growing up in New Jersey, I had a bunch of friends who were Met fans. So the day that happened, I had five phone calls and, you know, text messages, are you going to the Mets? And you can't help but not follow that stuff. So, I mean, I've seen it, but like we talked about before, it's a business and it's part of it. And it's definitely flattering that these teams see me as, you know, a guy that could potentially close for them or could help them get to the playoffs or the World Series, because that's everybody's goal. So, but, yeah, definitely glad to be back here and looking forward to having, I mean, I don't see how, not to sound cocky, but I don't think there's going to be a better bullpen than us this year. I think with Mike Givens coming back and, you know, Darren's going to be back full strength this year. I just don't see how collectively 1-7 you could have a stronger bullpen than what we're going to put together here.
Well, and the bullpen did lead the American League last year, 3.40 the combined ERA, and I think it's to Dan Duquette's credit that he didn't break it up to try to go do something else, because there is something to be said, as you alluded to, the fact that that's a known quantity, and arguably that's the strength of the team. So why not in this run? I mean, everyone thinks, you know, maybe two more years this run, because who knows what happens after 18. But if it's the best bullpen in the league, why not keep it intact? And he didn't hesitate to keep it.
Yeah, and I think all of us are so comfortable with each other personally and professionally that we all know exactly when we're going to be pitching. And, you know, Zach obviously knows he's going to be pitching the ninth. Me or Darren, somewhere there, seventh, eighth. Mike, same thing. Somewhere between the sixth and the eighth, me, Mike, and Darren are going to be in the game. So I think that's one of the biggest things that's very underrated about a bullpen, is being comfortable with knowing exactly when the phone call rings, you're going to be the guy getting up. And Buck's the best in the game at that, knowing exactly when you're going to be going into the game and the situation that you're going to be coming into.
Caleb, Brad is one of the pitchers that Buck relies on to get more than three outs. 19 times, in fact, last year he pitched more than an inning. Now, when you're catching a reliever who comes in, maybe gets out of a jam and then gets sent out, do you have to change the pitch selection because other hitters have already seen him, or you just stick with whomever the reliever is, what his strength is?
Personally, especially with Brad, it's mano a mano, and Brad has proven, especially over the last couple of years, his best beats the best. So we don't try to change very much with relievers in terms of combating their weaknesses. I would say, and Brad could probably attest this better than I could, but I feel like most relievers want to be beat with their best, mm-hmm. instead of trying to trick a guy. It is, here's what I have. It's good enough to, like you said, be the best bullpen, in my opinion, in the big leagues. And I'm here for a reason, and this is why I can do it, because my best beats yours. And so there are some strategy differences there where you try and navigate, but more times than not, it's more or less trying to prevent a big inning or a big run, and those are grand scheme things. Brad and all the guys in the bullpen, it's mano a mano. Let's see what happens.
You feel that way?
Yeah, definitely. I think, like Caleb said, he hit the nail on the head. When you want to, if you're going to get beat, it's with your best stuff, and you just don't want to look back after a game. And it happens. I mean, not everybody's perfect, unless you're Zach, of course, but not everybody's perfect. But you look back at the game, and you don't want to look back and say, man, I wish I threw this or I wish I threw that. You just want to go out there, and if you get beat, you get beat, and it's going to happen, and you just kind of have to get over and be ready to go the next day.
Caleb, I'm curious, when you come into camp, do you feel like there's a spot there for you, or do you feel like you're still engaged in a competition? Are you ever at the point in your career where you can relax a little bit and say, this is mine and somebody's going to have to take it from me?
I mean, I don't think anybody thank you. Appreciate that. I don't think anybody comes into camp and is fully relaxed. I think just the drive in us as athletes, as players, you're always wanting to be the best. And the fight that I have is between me and myself. And if I know if I can get to certain levels, then I'll probably be productive. I'll probably stay. I'll probably have a nice career, stuff like that. So it's 95% me versus me. I absolutely plan and intend on being a catcher on this team in 17. There's no question in my mind. Not once has it flashed through my head that you may not be a part of this team. Like I said, 16 was a fluke. And it's way in the past, and I feel like what I've done in 14 and 15 is really more of who I am. Hopefully, I get an opportunity. I fully anticipate getting an opportunity to prove that 14 and 15 is more of the player that I am, and that 16 was a fluke. So, yeah, hadn't crossed my mind once, and I'm jacked up. Man, you're getting me jacked up. Let's play right now. Let's go. The field's right out there. Let's go play. I got a pitcher. I got a catcher. Come on, let's
way
go.
To stir it up.
I don't know if there are any lights yet, though. That might be a problem.
Hey, we'll be all right.
Now, Brad, I know you underwent a procedure on your knee in the offseason, and we had talked a little about it. Can you kind of go through what exactly it was? I know you said it was a minor procedure, and how you feeling now?
Yeah, it was just a slight tear of the meniscus. The season I left on Thursday or Friday when the season ended, and I came back to Baltimore on that Monday, was in and out of the hospital that day, and it was really a basic rehab. There really was no rehab. It was just once the heel wound, it was just kind of take it easy for a couple months and then be ready to go. So, I mean, it hasn't affected me now. I don't feel any difference, so definitely ready to go for spring. And luckily it was very minor surgery, so it all went well.
You know, it's amazing about that. I had that done like 4 years ago, and it still hurts. And then he's back getting on the mound. It must be youth.
Well, I hope that's it. Oh, I don't feel it now, so hopefully I don't.
Brad Brock and Caleb Joseph with us. One of the things that I wanted to ask you, Caleb, when you got hurt last year was on May the 30th, and then you came back on July the 3rd. And except for a couple of rehab games, you didn't go back to the minors maybe to get that stroke back. In retrospect, as you look back on that, might that have been something that may have benefited you where you could be in game action, say, a week to 10 days to try to get the timing?
Who knows? You know, I mean, it's so easy to look back and say, what if? Look, I feel like, again, even when I went down on my rehab stint, I hit close to, you know, what, 280, 290 combined between the two stops, hit a couple home runs, drove in runs. So I actually did have an RBI and a couple homers last year. It was just in 2A and 3A. But, I mean, look, when you're going through these type of things, it's sometimes you get in a rough spot mentally, and it's sometimes hard to get out of it, especially, and I'm not using this as an excuse, but hitting in the big leagues is hard when you're playing every day, and it is very hard when you are not playing every day. And that was the first time in my career that I had not played at least 100 games. I played not even half of that. So it was a huge adjustment that I was really trying to wrap my brain around, and I was having a hard time. I was really struggling, and I learned a ton last year mentally. I figured out what not to do.
Right.
So, like I said, I'm excited about 2017 and what that entails. And, yeah, you just never know. Sometimes, yeah, maybe it would have been beneficial, maybe not. But, look, where I'm at right now is completely focused on 17, focusing all these energies and positive vibes, as one of our strength instructors would say. Yeah, I'm excited for it.
You know, that is true that there's so much adversity in the major leagues, and you really do need to learn from it and build strength from it. And, Brad, after the All-Star break, you had about a three-week period where you weren't dominating as much as you were to make the All-Star team last year, and you eventually figured a way around that. And I'm assuming once you did figure it out and got back to where you were that it made you a better pitcher.
Yeah, I stopped thinking and just going out there and throwing, and it can happen to anybody. I mean, that stretch I had in the first half was the best I've ever pitched in my life, any level, anywhere. So, you know, next thing you know, you let up one or two runs there, and I'm like, oh, my gosh, what's going on? When in reality, I should have been like, you're having the best year of your career. It's going to happen. You're going to let up runs. So, yeah, I just kind of let it get to my head a little bit, and, you know, I tried to make the adjustment as quick as possible, and I felt good. Just the results weren't there, unfortunately, for those couple weeks. But overall, my season, I was really, really happy with it.
I stop thinking all the time. It does not increase my production. So I don't get it. I hope you guys don't mind. I have to ask a contract question, because I know that's also going to come up.
Wait, what? There's a contract?
Contract question. Are you, because obviously you're still waiting to get deals done for 2017, are you under the impression that this will end up having to go to a hearing, or do you think are there still talks going on right now? And if it does end up getting to that point with a hearing, is that any sort of concern? I know it's not a pleasant process, but I also know how much you're valued by the organization.
The only talks I'm having is with my wife and how I need to take the trash out more and do the laundry and vacuum. And no, I mean, this is what we hire agents for. This is really when they make their money. This is when they earn their keep. And, you know, I'm planning on being in St. Petersburg for the hearing on February 1st. And if something happens before then that'll be what happens. But it's kind of like games. When you finish a game, you know the result. You kind of move on and start moving on to the next thing. I don't have time. It's too late in the offseason. I don't have time to be dwelling over this. I need to be worrying about swing, preparation, making sure my footwork's right, all that kind of stuff. This stuff is way in the past already. And so if something happens before then, excellent. But I'm fully focused on getting ready for the 17 season. And if they call, we'll see what happens.
Yeah, definitely. I agree with Caleb. It's one of those things where you'd rather not go to a hearing, but it just kind of, you look at the comparisons and you kind of just see where you and the team are, and sometimes you can't come to an agreement. It's not that we didn't want to. It just didn't happen. And like Caleb said, though, the biggest thing is, though, it's not on my mind. I'm just getting ready for this upcoming season, and whenever the day is, we're going to go do it and either going to win or lose the hearing and just go from there. So, just looking forward to 2017, and I'm going to be here, so that's what I'm looking forward to the most and excited for it.
It'd be convenient if it was the same day.
Yeah.
And just carpool.
I know. It would be convenient.
Especially because we don't live that far from each other in Tennessee.
I know. We'd make that work somehow.
Yeah, horse and buggy. We'd be there.
Brad, finally, I want to ask you, the Orioles do such a tremendous job as an organization in getting out in the community, especially with youth. And over the past couple of years, the Health and Fitness Challenge in Sarasota, where the Orioles have spring training, has really grown. They had an event the other day, and John Russell was there, Brian Roberts was there, I saw Michael Givens. And I know you're actively involved in that once you get there. What is it about that type of challenge with children that inspired you to want to get involved?
I think just me growing up, just always being active, being outside, playing sports, no matter what it was. I mean, it didn't matter the sport. I was lucky to grow up in a neighborhood with a bunch of kids all around the same age, and I mean, you name the sport, we played it from sun up to sundown, especially during spring break, summer break. So for me, it's kind of just disheartening seeing the way some kids aren't outside as much as I was growing up. And I know it's become a big thing across the country. So when the Orioles came to me and asked me if I want to help with this, and I jumped at it, just, you know, I'm not really doing anything with them. It's just kind of like a nice inspiration for them to, you know, they get to go to an Oriole game. They get to eat some healthy foods at the stadium. They get to... I saw the kids run a mile last year, you know. It's just little things like that, and I think anytime you can give any incentive to, you know, healthy living, healthy lifestyle, it's a great opportunity to be a part of.
Well, and the incentive, I mean, Caleb, I don't know if you know this, but Brad's picture hangs proudly in Joe's Barbershop on Main Street in Freehold, New Jersey, where he's from, because he went to Freehold Township High School. Everybody in the town knows him. And I'm wondering, maybe some kids go in there to get a haircut, and they sit in Mike DiBenedetto's chair and say, wow, he went to Freehold and he's in the big leagues. I want to be like him. Do you ever think of even reaching in that manner?
Yeah, I mean, I would love to, but I have some bigger goals down the line that I'd love to get involved back home at my college, at the high school, in the town and everything. And I think, I know growing up, if I had seen somebody that, you know, man, he's from Freehold, he can make it, I think that would inspire me even more. I was very driven as a little kid that was always my dream, is to play Major League Baseball. And I think... I'm hoping I can be an example for at least, if it's one kid, then that's great. If it's more than one kid, that's even better. But just being able to, you know, just know that a kid from New Jersey can make it, and, you know, you can be a late round draft pick, and you can make it. And you just, as long as nobody, you know, it doesn't matter what somebody tells you, you can achieve that goal. And that's one of my biggest things I want to achieve with my career.
Do you think kids jump in the barber chair and say, give me the Brad Brock?
I hope not. Sometimes I get some bad haircuts. So
hey, if they throw in a Federici's pizza right next door, I'll get
true.
The Brad Brock.
Yeah, well, I mean,
true.
Look at that head of hair. Good night.
All right, well, Brad and Caleb, thank you so much for stopping by. I know the fans here at the restaurant want to see you. We're at Dempsey's, and we'll look forward to being with you all day on Saturday for FanFest, and really looking forward to it. This kicks off the 2017 season, and we really do appreciate you stopping by.
Yeah, great to be here. We're excited. Let's go, Orioles.
Yeah, let's go.
Brad Brock and Caleb Joseph will take a break and come back. And Joey Rickard is in the house. He'll join us next on Hot Stove Baseball on 105.7 The Fan.
Welcome back to the Hot Stove Show. An hour-long look at baseball and the offseason with Jim Hunter on the flagship station of the Orioles, 105.7 The Fan.
Well, don't forget, opening day is now less than 10 weeks away. You can plan your Birdland summer, secure your full or partial season ticket plan with the Orioles. Season plan members at every level, Enjoy huge savings over the cost of single-game tickets, plus a full lineup of exclusive orange carpet benefits, including baseball's most flexible exchange policy, access to opening day, and more. Now, partial plans come at a variety of price points, and they are the best way to lock in your spot for all the action for the upcoming season. So get your seats now. Go online, Orioles.com, or if you prefer, just call the Orioles at 888-848-BIRD. Jim and Rock, we're at Dempsey's at the ballpark, and a big crowd on hand tonight. Brad Brock and Caleb Joseph are with us, and now he's back. Joey Rickard, you heard your thank thumb you. July the 20th, and then we never saw you again. Where have you been hiding?
Oh, man, as soon as it happened, I was immediately sent down to Sarasota, Florida, and I was there, you know, past the season a little bit, and then as soon as I was healthy enough and got cleared, I went home and started my off season.
Now, the initial diagnosis, at least what was hoped, was that you were going to make it back probably by September. You were hurt July 20th. Your right thumb, because you're a left-handed throw. You confused me because you bat right-handed, throw left-handed. Were you surprised after the initial diagnosis that you didn't, in fact, make it back, that it did cost you the rest of the year?
Yeah, just what I was told from, looking at the x-rays and the doctors, and, you know, they were positive and or almost positive that I was going to make a full recovery, you know, sooner than later. And it just didn't work out. It turned out to be a bigger tear than they expected or they saw.
I know you've been working out with Brady in California. Can you take us through a typical Brady Anderson workout and what that's like?
And could we survive it?
Ooh. I think you got it.
I think he gave us the answer.
No, he's a busy guy, so we do get to sleep in a little bit, but it's usually they start around probably noon or 1 o'clock, and they go throughout the day. We'll go probably weights in the morning, take a couple-hour break, eat, and then you're running some sprints later on, and then you'll head to – we worked out at UCLA and went to – did some baseball work in the cages there and in the field there, and kind of just – hung out there until about 5 or 6 and then called it a day.
Did you actually race him? I'm just curious how close that might have been.
We timed each other. Yes, we did. And I was first place, so we'll just say that.
Did he give you a good run, though, for your money?
Oh, he was right behind me the whole time, so it was closer than I thought it would be. So he's impressive.
You know, what's interesting about Brady being this active, you know, Joe Hogarty is a terrific strength coach, so the main strength coach of the team. But Brady is a former all-star player. So I would guess that he looks at it in a different vein than maybe Joe even would, because he knows what it takes to play day in and day out and get ready for that.
Yeah, it's definitely, when it comes to those two, it's a passion. Like, that's something they enjoy doing just on a daily basis, whether baseball is in the picture or not. So I think that's why Brady and Joe get along so well, and I think they can both learn from each other, and they pass it down to us players.
Now, I'm sure you've been following what's been going on with the team. Seth Smith acquired, we believe, to bat leadoff against right-handed pitchers and play right field. How do you envision your role developing? Have you thought about that? And are you going to allow yourself to maybe be distracted by that, because you are going to be asked about it quite a bit?
I'm expected to, you know, get all these questions about it. But, I got here just by focusing on, you know, me and taking care of kind of what I need to do to kind of help the team win, and that's kind of my mindset right now. And whoever we can bring in to make the team better, and, you know, hopefully make a longer run in the playoffs this year, you know, I'm all for it.
How many times have you been asked whether you're still a Rule 5 pick next season, which you're not, and can you explain why that is, what the cutoff is? Because I get asked all the time, and I keep saying he's not a Rule 5 guy anymore. People still ask.
Yeah, it was. I thought it was a full year, but it turns out it's only 90 days during the big league season. And after that, Buck came up to me that day and said, "Hey, you're officially ours. Congratulations." And that was pretty much it. So, I mean, that's how I learned about it. Just a couple months prior to the Rule 5 draft, I didn't even know it existed. So it was kind of a shock for me, but it turned out to be, you know, a blessing.
Were there any challenges of playing at the major league level that maybe surprised you or that you weren't anticipating until you actually experienced it? Buck talks about the different, you know, ballparks, playing the outfield, the third deck, the lights, whatever.
You beat me to it. That was probably one of the biggest ones in the outfield that I'm not used to. You know, our first spring training or preseason game up in Philadelphia was the first time I saw third deck and had those lights high. And of course, the very first fly ball of the game comes right to me, and, you know, luckily I got it, but it's definitely something you don't really think about until you're in the game and you're playing and a ball comes your way.
One of the things you excelled at last season as a rookie was facing left-handed pitching, and again, we mentioned you're unique because you bat right-handed but throw left-handed. There is a scenario here where you may start against all the left-handed pitching because you handle it so well, and then maybe if you don't start, you're available for defense late in the game. That type of a role is very important to a contending team, so I would guess that if that works out, you'd be fine with that.
Oh, yeah. Like I said, just whatever it takes to help the team win, and I'm all for it. So, I know Buck likes to, pick his battles and, maybe put players in different positions, and he's kind of a chess match with him, so I just always got to be ready with him.
You know, the other thing on this team, it's kind of why Ryan Flaherty is so valuable, because somebody has to back up J.J. just in case, and Ryan's still good at moving around. Somebody on this team has to back up Adam Jones. And I realize Adam rarely takes a day off, but you did play 13 games in center field last year, and the Orioles are comfortable with you being able to play center field. So that's an asset that you're bringing to camp that maybe some of the other outfielders in the mix don't.
Yeah, it's definitely something that will keep you around a little longer, just adding some versatility to your game and showing people that you can do things and that you're confident in going and playing all three outfield positions and whatever the game calls for.
You talk about making adjustments, playing the outfield at major league level. How valuable has Wayne Kirby been as the outfield instructor to kind of get you comfortable? And how would you describe his approach to coaching?
He's very positive. He doesn't really point out the bad too much. He likes to be very vocal, and that's kind of what he teaches. So, anytime you have any questions, he's an easy guy to kind of go up to and talk to. And he's always one step ahead of me, so I don't really have to go up to him about anything because, he played for quite a long time. So, his approach is just being very friendly. I remember he came up to me day one and before even spring training started, first day I got there. And it was too much. It was a handful. I was nervous, and he just said, "Hey, relax. Like anything you need to do, just come talk to me." So he made it very easy on me.
And how much did Adam Jones help being the center fielder, helping with positioning? Because a lot of times you could be in one corner, and also Kim, of course, his first season in the U.S. And I got the sense that maybe Adam was directing some traffic.
Oh yeah, and we needed Adam out there last year for sure. He brings that extra element of just that sixth sense that not a lot of players have that really helps you out, especially when you're a rookie.
Now we know the style that the Orioles employ. The roster is littered with power. They live by the long ball, sometimes die by the long ball. And I think this is fascinating. Rock has brought this up several times on our shows this offseason. Even though you didn't play after July 20th, you still led the team in stolen bases, and you had four. Now, is that part of your game that you would hope you can expand a little bit next year with maybe more regular playing time and also more experience at how good the big league pitchers and catchers are at containing the running game?
Definitely. Stealing bases has always been a big part of my game, actually, coming up throughout the minors. But, maybe a little tense, a little nervous kind of played a role. But at the same time, if you're on first base with this team, you're in scoring position. So, the worst thing I can do with Machado or Jones, up at the plate is get thrown out. So I really, really got to pick my situations carefully.
Now, is that in part Buck's philosophy? Because we know he hates giving up outs on the bases. So it's not necessarily a station team, but as you say, it's a play for the big inning team. Does he, in fact, give you, okay, you have the green light unless I tell you not to go?
I definitely do and have the green light, but Kirby's over there. He was a base stealer too, so he'll tell me some things that I might not pick up, or he'll just flat out tell me to stay. And with the big part of the lineup coming up, it's just really not too much of a big deal to get to second base because, we had Machado with, 40 doubles, Jones with 40. Risk isn't really as big as the reward.
So what do you remember about when you found out in spring training you had made the team, about how the Orioles let you know?
Oh, I remember exactly. They called me in one night after a game. And it was late, and Kirby comes in and says, "Hey, we need to talk to you," into the coach's room. So I walked over there, and it was completely dark. And all of a sudden, he turns the lights on. It was all, 20 coaches there, all the staff, and they start clapping. And then, you know, Buck gives up a little speech, and everybody congratulates me, and had a lot of phone calls to make that night, and it was a night I'll never forget.
It was a very interesting April because, of course, you got off to such a great start, and it seemed like you were constantly tied to Kim in that you basically beat him out for a job, and there was talk about whether he might accept an assignment to the minors, which he did, and there was actually some booing on opening day. Fans grew to love him, of course. Meanwhile, you're next to him, clubhouse. How would you describe your relationship with him during that period?
It was great. He's a personality. I mean, once he gets out of his shell, I mean, he's fun to talk to. And like you said, he's right next to me. So we actually have a great relationship. And he's just a very fun guy. He's actually taken me to a couple Korean places around town to eat. And he's just a guy that, you know, I text, you know, pretty frequently.
Now, with the thumb injury, and you say you're totally over it, is there any anxiousness as you're about to, the 13th is pitchers and catchers, position players a few days later, so by mid-February, I'm sure you'll be in Florida. Is there any anxiousness the first time you make contact and it stings a little bit because of what you went through to get back to this point?
Definitely. I'll probably be a little timid at first in that first, you know, 95-mile-an-hour fastball inside, but I think I'll quickly get over it just as, you know, as soon as confidence gets building.
Do you still feel like a rookie because you lost half the year because of the injury?
Definitely.
Really?
Definitely. I'll feel like a rookie for a couple of years probably.
Do you expect spring training to have a different feel, though? Because at least you know what's coming and, that you belong more than maybe you did initially.
Oh, yeah, it's definitely more comfortable the second time around, but, I mean, the goal never changes. I got to go out there and just play hard every day and compete for a job.
Now, of course, the big story at this time last week, the Orioles reached agreement with Mark Trumbo. How do you think that's received in the clubhouse? I get the sense he's one of those quiet leaders and guys really valued his presence, along with the 47 home runs.
Yeah, I mean, he's definitely one of the quieter guys, but when he has something to say, people listen, and he's very intelligent and all the meetings, hitting meetings, he'll know something about a guy that'll help the team out. So he's really, really productive in more than just, you know, hitting home runs.
You know, I've heard from players that have had to go to Sarasota during the season to rehab an injury that it's very, very lonely because the team is elsewhere. Now, the first time you went through this, and it had to be maybe a tad uncomfortable because here you were, you made the team, you were playing great, regular playing time, and now all of a sudden, boom, you're back with Dave Walker in Sarasota for the rest of the summer.
Oh, yeah, it was tough to take in at first, you know, just being, you know, July 20th, being at Yankee Stadium, something you dream about, and then, you know, a couple of days later, you're walking around St. Armand Circle just looking for some food or something after rehab. So it's definitely a big difference, and it you do get pretty lonely out there.
Dave Walker's really good at what he does down there, running the rehabs. How did he help you from the mental side of this versus just the physical? Because as you say, I mean, anyone that goes down there tells you that's the last place you want to be during the season.
It is. It definitely is. But he just told me it could always be worse. I mean, I was walking in every day with guys fresh off Tommy John surgery that they've been out for, you know, almost 2 years. So, I mean, you put that in perspective, you know, I was going to be fine.
The Orioles made two more picks in the Rule 5 draft, and, you know, they have a streak going of keeping a guy. Any advice you would offer to a Rule 5 pick who's in camp?
Yeah, just try not to do too much, you know. They like you for a reason, and you don't have to go out there and try and be something you're not. So just stick within yourself.
Well, Joey, thanks so much for stopping by. It's great to see you. You were a phantom down there in Sarasota last
Thank
year
you.
After you got hurt. But we're all looking forward to a big year. It's great that you're healthy. And enjoy Fan Fest on Saturday. I know the fans are anxious to see you, and a lot of them came out here tonight to see you. So thanks so much for coming by and giving us some time.
Thanks for having me.
And Jim, we don't have the best hair here tonight.
Really? Well, Caleb said Brad Brock had the best hair anyway, so either way we were going to lose.
He's lying.
All right, now, Rocco, you're going to be very busy at FanFest as well, I understand.
I will be, along with the interviews and everything. I'll be hosting three of the forums, including an O's Deal or No Deal game show.
Really?
Yes, I'm practicing my voice to my game show host.
Bob Eubanks.
Yes. Yep. A year supply of Rice-A-Roni, the San Francisco treat.
Well, FanFest is always so much fun because it really does kick off the season.
It
and
does.
I know even though you're rarely take a day off as it is even in the off season, which for you there is no off season, but it is special because now it's time to get back at it.
It is, and people are going to be excited because Mark Trumbull will be there, Willie Tincastillo will be there, and I can just tell the comments I'm getting, Twitter and the blog, it's like baseball's back. I mean, people are excited by minicamp, and there wasn't that much going on just because it felt like baseball again. It's baseball in Sarasota. There, people are ready for spring training, especially the way the season ended. I think everybody wants to move on now, forget about the wild card game, and start a new season.
All right, we're back at it next week on Thursday. Stay tuned on 105.7 The Fan, the Mark Turgeon Show. For Jim Amrock, have a great night, everybody. We'll see you back here next Thursday at Dempsey's.